So, ready for another Nexus Deep Dive? This time, we're going to be looking at something that I know a lot of English language learners struggle with. And that is those tricky adjectives that end in ing or ed.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about words like bored versus boring or interested versus interesting. And, if you've ever felt a little confused about when to use which one, you are definitely not alone. It's a super common stumbling block, especially for people whose native languages don't really make that same distinction. But don't worry, by the time we're done with this deep dive, you'll have a much clearer understanding. And hopefully you'll even have a couple of aha moments along the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is it that makes these adjectives so tricky? What's the big difference between saying something is exciting versus saying that you feel excited?
Well, the key is to think about it like this. ING adjectives describe the cause of a feeling, while ED adjectives describe the feeling itself. So imagine, arinene, you're watching a fireworks display. The fireworks are exciting because they cause that feeling of excitement in you, the viewer. You, on the other hand, feel excited by that spectacle.
Okay, that makes sense. So the ING adjective is like the thing that has that power to evoke a certain feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ED adjective is the actual feeling that someone experiences. Let's dig a little deeper into the ING adjectives first. Can you give us a few more examples of how these work in sentences?
Absolutely. So think about like a book that keeps you on the edge of your seat. You'd probably say like, that book was so thrilling. Because it has that quality of being so exciting. Or maybe you're having a conversation that's just full of like interesting ideas and insights. You might describe it as a really stimulating discussion.
So ING adjectives are kind of like these labels that we put on things to describe what they're like, their characteristics or qualities. And it's not just limited to things, right?
Yeah.
We can use ING adjectives to describe people too. Like, that professor is so inspiring.
Exactly. Inspiring describes the quality that a professor has. That quality is then what leads to that feeling of being inspired in their students.
This is all starting to click into place now. But I have to admit, I still sometimes get tripped up on when to use ED adjectives. What are some like common situations where we use ED adjectives?
Well, think about any time you're describing how you feel in response to something. Like maybe you're talking about a movie that made you cry. You know, you might say, I was so moved by that film. Or maybe you're describing, you know, how you felt after a long day of work. You could say, I am completely exhausted.
So ED adjectives are all about expressing those like personal internal states.
Yeah.
Our emotional reactions to the world around us. But here's what always throws me off. Sometimes the same word can be both an ING adjective, AD, an ED adjective, depending on the context. Take the word interested, for example. How do we know when to use interested with an ED versus interesting with an ING?
That's a great question. It can definitely be confusing, especially because the root word is the same. The key is to just ask yourself, are you describing the thing itself, or are you describing the way someone feels about that thing?
Okay. I think I'm starting to see the difference. So if I say that documentary was really interesting, I'm using interesting with an ING to describe like the quality of the documentary itself.
Exactly. You're saying that the documentary had the power to engage your attention. And, you know, make you want to learn more.
But if I say I'm interested in learning more about that topic, I'm using interested with an ED to describe my personal feeling of curiosity and wanting to know more.
You got it. That's a perfect example of how the same root word can function as both an ING and an ED adjective, just depending on what you're trying to express.
This is all starting to make a lot more sense now. But I bet there are some subtle nuances that even native English speakers might miss. Can you tell us about any common pitfalls or tricky situations that people often stumble over? I'm sure our listeners would love to know how to avoid those mistakes.
Sure. I think one common area where people get tripped up is with the phrase interested to versus interested in. Have you ever wondered which one is correct?
Ooh, yes. That's a good one. I feel like I've heard both used, but I'm never quite sure which is the right choice. Is there a simple rule of thumb to help us remember?
There is. Generally speaking, you'll want to use interested in when you're talking about activities or topics that you're curious about. For example, you'd say, I'm interested in learning how to play the piano. Or, she's interested in ancient history.
So interested in is our go-to phrase for most situations. What about interested to? When would we use that?
Interested to is a little bit more specialized. You'll typically use it with verbs of perception like hear, see, know, or learn. For instance, you might say, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, or we're interested to see how the project develops.
Oh, that makes sense. So it's like interested to is specifically about wanting to like receive or experience something. Like, I'm interested to hear your story. I'm interested to see what happens next.
Precisely. It's about that anticipation of gaining new information or having some kind of sensory experience.
That clears up a lot of confusion for me. I'm sure our listeners are feeling a lot more confident about those tricky, interested phrases now, too. But let's be honest, even with these helpful guidelines, mastering these ing and ged adjectives takes time and practice. It's all about training our brains to think about those subtle differences in meaning.
Absolutely. And one thing that can make it particularly challenging is if your native language doesn't have the same distinction between ing and ed adjective.
That's a great point. For our listeners out there who speak languages other than English, this can be an extra layer of complexity. I know we have a lot of Japanese speakers in our audience, and I've heard that Japanese doesn't always differentiate between these types of adjectives in the same way English does.
That's right. For example, the Japanese word sumaranai can mean both boring and bored, depending on the context. So it's understandable that Japanese speakers might sometimes mix up those ing and ed endings in English.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like your brain is trying to apply the rules of your native language to English.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work perfectly. So what advice would you give to our Japanese-speaking listeners who are struggling with this particular grammar point?
Well, one thing I always recommend is to try and visualize that cause and effect relationship we talked about earlier instead of simply memorizing rules. Think about the logic behind the adjective choice. For instance, if you're talking about a movie, ask yourself, is the movie causing a feeling of boredom, or are you the one feeling bored while watching it?
That's a great strategy. So if I wanted to say the movie was dull and uninteresting, I'd use the ing adjective and say the movie was boring. But if I wanted to express how I felt during the movie, I'd use the ed adjective and say I was bored during the movie.
Exactly. By consciously focusing on that cause and effect dynamic, you can start to internalize the difference between those ing and ed adjectives.
Yeah.
And use them more naturally in your English conversations.
And another helpful tip for Japanese speakers is to practice translating common adjective pairs back and forth between Japanese and English. For example, take the word omoshiroi. In Japanese, this can mean both interesting and interested, depending on the situation. But in English, we need to be more specific.
Right. If you find a book captivating, you'd say the book was interesting in English.
Yeah.
Using the ing adjective. But if you want to express your personal interest, you'd say I'm interested in reading that book, using the ed form.
So it's all about being mindful of those subtle nuances in meaning and choosing the adjective that most accurately conveys your message in English. But don't get discouraged if you make mistakes along the way. Everyone does, especially when it comes to learning a new language.
Absolutely. It's all part of the process. The important thing is to keep practicing. Keep paying attention to those ing and ed adjectives, and soon they'll become second nature.
And remember, even native English speakers get tripped up on these sometimes. So be kind to yourself and celebrate the progress you make along the way.
Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like this Nexus deep dive has really clarified things for me. I feel much more confident about using those ing and ed adjectives now. I'm sure our listeners do too.
Me too. It's amazing how a little bit of focused attention can make such a big difference in our understanding.
I have to say, it's really fascinating to see how different languages approach these concepts. It makes you realize how much we take for granted in our own native tongues. It really does. And it highlights the importance of being patient and understanding with ourselves when we're learning a new language. There are bound to be bumps along the way, especially when it comes to grammar rules that don't have a direct equivalent in our first language.
Speaking of bumps, I'm curious, are there any other common mistakes that you've noticed people making with these ing and ed adjectives?
One that comes to mind is using an ing adjective when they really should be using an ed adjective to describe a feeling. For example, I've heard people say things like, I'm feeling very tiring after a workout, when they really mean, I'm feeling very tired.
Yes. It's easy to see how that could happen, especially if you're thinking about the activity that caused the feeling like a tiring workout rather than the feeling itself.
Exactly. It's a subtle but important distinction. Remember, ing adjectives describe the cause of the feeling, while ed adjectives describe the feeling itself.
So to avoid that mistake, it's helpful to pause and ask yourself, am I describing something that causes a feeling?
Ooh.
Or am I describing the feeling itself?
Precisely. And if you're ever in doubt, try plugging in both the ing and ed versions of the adjective and see which one sounds more natural in the context of the sentence.
Great advice. It's like having a built-in grammar checker in your mind. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We've explored the key differences between ing and ed adjectives, looked at some common pitfalls to avoid, and even shared some specific tips for our Japanese-speaking listeners.
It's been a truly enlightening deep dive. I always enjoy exploring these subtle nuances of language.
Me too. And I have to say, I feel a lot more confident about using these adjectives correctly now. I'm sure our listeners do too. So as we wrap up this episode of Nexus Deep Dive, I want to leave our listeners one final thought. Remember, language learning is a journey, not a destination. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to feel confused sometimes. And it's okay to ask for help.
The most important thing is to stay curious, keep practicing, and never stop exploring the fascinating world of language.
Well said. And until next time, happy language learning, everyone.